You did.
Let's see if I have just a little bit with a little more.
Even just from your own, you know, just to describe what it is that, like the landscape, and because I know you explained a lot, you know.
Right.
But just kind of you giving a thumb sketch of the area.
Well, the San Luis Valley, which is the headwaters of the Rio Grande, is the largest of several intermountain basins. It's the largest irrigated basin in the Intermountain West. We're 100 miles long by 75 miles wide. The lowest portion of the San Luis Valley is about 7,500 feet. There are communities on the edge of the valley, and on the east side of the San Luis Valley is the Santa de Cristo mountain range. On the west side is the San Juan Mountains. We're a nearly totally enclosed mountain base. We are just north of the New Mexico line. Historically, this was New Mexico until the 1860s when Congress annexed northern New Mexico to make Colorado into a perfect rectangle, and the San Luis Valley was part of that. What's important about the San Luis Valley is that we're the headwaters of the Rio Grande. So all of the water from the San Luis Valley, from the San Juan, and all the tributary streams from the San Juan Mountains and from the Santa de Cristos, which flow into the Rio Grande, move southward into New Mexico, into Texas, and into Mexico. What's interesting about the San Luis Valley is its high elevation and lack of water. We have about 8 to 10 inches annually of rainfall. So it is a very arid area. The kind of interesting aspect of nature to the San Luis Valley is that we're sitting on a huge aquifer, the size of the Ogallala, larger than the Ogallala aquifer. And so even though above water, above the surface, we have streams and the Rio Grande, below the surface, we have three aquifers. And we have the confined and the unconfined aquifer. And then there's this shallow aquifer. But we have had many corporations in contemporary times trying to go after that aquifer and drain it and ship this water into the urban areas. And there's been lots of water fights in the last 20 years because of that. And so water is really important in the San Luis Valley because of that. And we're also a great resource, and definitely the communities here have fought any kind of water challenges by corporations to remove the water to, you know, either places to the north or places to the south. You know, we're right in between. You know, Albuquerque's booming, and so is Denver booming. So we're kind of right in the middle of that.
And do you have any suggestions as far as numbers of, like, how the aquifer has been affected, where I could find?
Well, I had
really recent ones.
Well, again, it's this district court case, and it was 2004, and it's a judgment and a decree on water use,
okay,
on taking of water out of the aquifer.
Okay.
And this is the big fight now, is to stop any kinds of new acquisitions of water from the aquifer, because we had a huge drought in 2004. And the drought I should say something about the 2004 drought. I mean the 2002. In 2002, we had a drought where over 500 domestic wells failed. And they had to be replaced. Many of the high confined aquifer wells had their casings collapse, and it was a break in the middle of the growing season, and they had to have emergency permits. So that was, we never have really recovered from this 2002 drought, you know, the whole area. And I think that's the big thing that we have to look at. Mm-hmm. It's not only the number of people that, the number of corporations, and the level of the sizes of farms that are effectively mining the aquifer for the water, and all of the possible water fights and the past and probably and will happen again in the future, the attempts to take the aquifer for moving it into the urban areas and selling the water. That's a big problem. But I think that we have to look at the valley and this whole Rio Riba in the context of global warming. And I think we cannot ignore that fact. The drought of 2002 was a big warning. We've had cycles of drought for many millenniums in this valley, but right now it's changed. When I grew up, there was always snow on the mountains, like in the Culebra and on Mont Blanc. Mont Blanc is a 14,000 foot and above mountain, in the Culebra also. These are some of the Colorado 14,000 footers. Growing up, there was always snow on that mountain. Now, in the last 5 years, I've noticed we just don't have the snow cover. It's melting. We had in the 2002 where I lived, and I'm on an acequia, we had a lot of the cottonwoods die. And the cottonwood trees in the San Luis Valley, the cottonwood groves are considered a global significance because they're forests, or cottonwood forests. But with the drought, a lot of them died back. So we're having a lot of problems, and we're going to be seeing that, continue to see that. This year, they had their bird count. They found less bald eagles in the valley this year, and that's because there's less waterfowl, there's less water. The San Luis Valley was for millenniums an area with a lot of water. And as water started becoming commercialized in the 1870s, and we started draining the aquifer and commercializing it to the level that it is today, we have a lot to lose. We have a lot of the wildlife to lose, but we're also on the edge here, and we're going to have to do something. The state is already starting to regulate any withdrawal from the aquifers, and for us to maintain and to continue to be a viable community, we're going to have to do something about water use. It is totally important, and it's totally related to survival in the Intermountain West.
That's really good. And then the other, I have two last questions.
Okay.
And then if you want to say anything else, you're
okay.
The one is, I'm trying to make a link between land and culture. So I'm asking everyone, if you, like, is there something that you see that is a direct, you know, it's something that comes directly from the land and is a part of the culture. Like you'd said cambalache once. Other people have said, you know, the choice between red or green chili, and, you know, just anything like that. Is there something that you could briefly talk about?
Well, I think that definitely, for me, the strongest link between the land are the cultural landscapes. The cultural landscapes in New Mexico and in southern Colorado are as distinct as the cultural landscapes in New England and in the American South. Our cultural landscapes are made up of plazas, of acequias. We have a strong adobe construction, a heritage with adobe construction. And so the cultural landscapes are a reflection of the, I guess, to be romantic, of the soul of the culture. And so that is the outward manifestation of culture, is cultural landscapes. And that's very strong. And without the land, there would be no cultural landscapes.
And the last question was, and this is something that I have to ask for the New Mexico Humanities Council, and I have to, what the question is, what does it mean to be a New Mexican? And since we're looking at this as the New Mexican bioregion, what does it mean to be a part of the New Mexico bioregion, I guess that's the only way I could ask you.
Well, I have always considered myself, even though I live in Colorado, I consider myself a New Mexican, actually a resident of occupied New Mexico. When I was growing up, politicians from New Mexico used to come to our community, even though we were Colorado, and they would politic. They would ride in our Santa Ana Fiesta. We always listened to New Mexico TV. The weather in from the New Mexico TV station is more accurate than weather that you listen to on the Colorado, from Colorado Springs. So I always listened to New Mexico TV. One of the big radio stations, the Spanish language radio stations, is from Taos. You can hear it any place in the San Luis Valley. So to be a New Mexican that is caught in Colorado is, as a historian, I looked at that in my dissertation. Three times we have tried to return to New Mexico, the San Luis Valley. And the most recent time was in the 1970s, and I'm very proud of my father, Charles Mondragon, because he worked with Roberto Mondragon, and they went before the New Mexico legislature, and they passed I'm not sure if it was a bill, but there was an attempt for Costilla and Conejos County to go back to New Mexico. And again, this was historically, they tried this in the 1870s to return, and they couldn't. We tried in the 1970s, and we couldn't. So that's why I went to school and graduated in New Mexico, and so did my husband graduate from the University of New Mexico. We have really strong ties with New Mexico, although I live in Colorado. It's closer to Santa Fe than it is to Denver.
Yeah. So what does it mean to be a New Mexican?
For me to be a New Mexican in Colorado means, I think I'm a citizen of the Rio Arriba bioregion. So even though I don't live in New Mexico, and even though my heart's in New Mexico, but I live in Colorado, I'm still a bona fide resident of the Rio Arriba bioregion.
And those are all my questions.
So I don't know if you can pick out anything from there.
No, it's perfect. Thank you so much for the interview.
Okay. But, you know, if it's a little too red and you need it to...